KR Politics. You know, Jimmy sent me an article yesterday entitled Analyst Election Polls Underestimating Republican Margins by as much as 5%. In a generic ballot released this week by USA Today, Republicans are up 4 points over Democrats, and that's a huge change from USA Today's previous poll in July, when Democrats led the Republicans 44-40, as opposed to being behind by 4 points. Jimmy, what are your comments on that?
My first comment is that I don't think the polls going through the summer were accurate at all in the first place. I think the polling was, and pollsters that are primarily supporting, you know, Democratic initiatives and candidates were careful to ensure that it didn't look like the Democrats were going to get hammered because they needed to continue to get funding. And if they looked, if it looked bad, then they don't get as much funding. So I think they are selective in who they chose for their polls. And I think now they're having to become more accurate back to the way they were back in April and May, or, you know, March, April, and May, when it showed the same numbers that we're seeing now. So obviously they're select. I think there's some selective choosing of who answers questions in polls. The way you write the polls are very important. And then, of course, now in order to keep credibility, they can't be off by 10 or 15%. They've got to be closer in the 3 to 5% range.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it was fabricated. And I do think there are some very important issues about undercount that this article mentioned a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, there a lot of articles have been coming out recently since this Fetterman thing that people are predicting right now a red landslide in a couple of weeks in that election. I'd like to see that happen. Do you think it will, Jim?
Well, again, if we have legitimate elections and we have transparency in the process and we can ensure that voting machines work, that that we don't have vote harvesting in places where that's illegal, if we don't have people, you know, stopping the count in the middle of the night and then pouring more ballots in, yeah, I think there's a possibility that this is not just a red wave, but a red tsunami.
Yeah.
And here's why I think these undercounts are significant. So how many people were happy with their children being locked out of school for an extended period of time over COVID?
Very few.
How many people are happy? Remember, 75 million people, if those numbers are at all accurate, voted for Donald Trump in this last election.
Yeah.
They didn't go away. They weren't intimidated away by the Department of Justice or Joe Biden telling them that they were a threat to democracy. They're actually looking at the world and saying, wait a second, what is going on? But they are probably not going to say something out loud for fear of retribution as the Department of Justice arrests people for being involved in minor events, trespassing or singing at an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
And of course, the Mar-a-Lago raid, all these issues that the Democrats use to kind of alienate an entire half of the nation, half of the voter population, only kept people from being honest about how they're going to vote. And the probability is they're frustrated with what's happening in America right now. And those people are going to come out in droves. And those independents that typically don't care that much are feeling the pinch, not only in the intimidation, the censorship, but with the inflation, with the continued border problems, with the crime issues, and looking at the status of America in the eyes of foreign policy and seeing how quickly we're deteriorating. And I think that's really going to bring out a lot of people. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a massive red wave, red tsunami, as they say.
Yeah.
If all things are valid and legitimate, you really can't see what policies the Democrats can run on. And abortion has not been the issue that they thought it would be.
Yeah. No, it doesn't appear to be, which I find to be very interesting. I mean, I am anti-abortion, but again, my opinion is, you know, that's kind of an individual decision. But I don't think, quite frankly, that I'm talking strictly from a moral standpoint, by the way. But I got to tell you, I don't think it's nearly as big a deal to America as a whole as the Democrats think it is. You know, and a good example, when I say as Americans think it is, the Patty Murray race here in Washington, basically her ads and the other gal's ads are very, very slanted simply towards the abortion issue. And I really wonder how much Washingtonians really care about that.
There's a certain amount of the voter electorate that is very motivated by women's rights issues.
Yeah.
And you know, my body, my choice type of a thing. But it's actually quite contradictory with the mandatory vaccinations. So that's a problem. Because it's got to contradict in some of the people's minds, especially independent voters. So you've got the hardcore left that, and the problem is it's younger, motivated, progressive white women that are arguing for these issues.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to gain the traction because the mothers, the suburban moms that are out there, they're frustrated with gender education in their schools, that are frustrated with the inflation and buying gas, they're going to come out. You know, they're going to say, wait a second, something's wrong here. I can't afford gas. I can't afford food for my family.
Right.
And I think there's no way that they're going to make a decision based on that simple possibility of someone else having the choice to have an abortion in a situation where the United States is in such dire straits economically.
Jimmy, I got some emails from local listeners who really want you to talk about the ineffectiveness, your rationale about the ineffectiveness behind the COVID second booster. Can you do that in 3 minutes?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, the segment we did just before here really kind of encapsulates what the studies are showing now. But just to kind of wrap this up, you're getting more and more information that the government and pharmaceuticals, the propaganda machines with the press, really silenced factual evidence that showed we ought to be very cautious about the vaccinations. And with the COVID boosters right now, and what you're seeing from some very, very experienced doctors and analysts, is the mRNA technology itself has complications and very dangerous impacts to pregnant women.
Yeah.
It spreads the mRNA into the actual spike proteins that are created because of the mRNA nanolipid, you know, messengers into your body. It spreads that into children.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential problems are significant. They weren't researched enough. They didn't do enough human trials on it. It was, in my view, I've said it from the beginning, I never wanted to be a part of a global experiment, but that it turns out that this is, in fact, what we're seeing right now.
Yeah,
there's more and more evidence, more documentation. The vaccinations did not work as advertised, and the boosters, according to the latest information, do nothing to benefit you any more than the original vaccinations. But there are significant risks that were not reported for people. For some people, and a lot of people have been fine, but we do not know what the long-term ramifications are. We cannot know what the long-term ramifications are because, look, most of these trials go on for, you know, 7 to 10 years for a vaccine. How can you say that within a year or two that you're going to have answers when some of these legacy problems may come up a long time in the future? And the fact that media and Twitter and Facebook and the government got involved at the behest of pharmaceutical companies to silence those voices is incredibly dangerous. And thank goodness, at least Twitter is starting to turn around to open up some of those views.
Yeah.
Now that Elon Musk is taken over.
Yeah, they really are. That was basically, I think, you know, good for Elon Musk to do that. I had the second booster, and I'm not even sure why I had it. I just did. And anyway, having said that, I hope nothing happens to me. Jimmy, 30 seconds left. Wrap it up.
Yeah. So, I nobody wants something bad to happen to anybody. I didn't get any of the shots, and I'm proud of that.
No,
I've got pure blood. And I'm going to, and my family didn't. And over time, we'll see what happens on this. But in the end, we've all of us, and those with the vaccines have still gotten COVID. So anyway, we'll be back next week. We'll have plenty of things to talk about. And thank you for listening to the KER Politics.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.